Hello, dear listener. You are with me, Supriya, and my friend
Deepanjana
in the city of Bombay, where we are recording The Lit Pickers, a podcast about books and reading. And I'd like to kick today's episode off by telling Deepanjana two things. One is that about 25 years ago, which is like literally a lifetime ago, I remember being party to a conversation where two of my friends from Delhi were asking each other, where is the great Delhi novel? You know, these were all literary reading types. And the basis for this conversation was, oh, you know, there are Bombay novels, Salman Rushdie, etc., etc. And of course, Calcutta has The Shadow Lines. For a generation of listeners who doesn't know or care, these were kind of two books that you had to read if you were in any kind of BA course anywhere in India at a certain point in Indian history.
If you were studying liberal arts and wanted to get laid or listened to either one, you had to have read these books.
That is exactly right. But the reason for my friend's conversation was that they couldn't readily bring to mind a novel like that about their city. The second thing I want to tell you before taking that obvious lead in into what this episode is about, when I was leaving Delhi, I've lived there for a few years, as have you, a friend turned to me and said, oh, Bombay, you're going back? Why? There's nothing intellectual there for you. And on that note, I would like to introduce the subject of this episode, Delhi books.
Okay, controversial perhaps, but I genuinely think Delhi is our literary city. It is our literary capital today. Not just because most of the publishers of India are based there.
Most of the big mainstream publishers of English language books are based there.
And Hindi as well. Not just because of that, but because I really think that some of our best writing has been about Delhi.
Yeah, nothing controversial about that to me. I mean, in case there are listeners who are going to think about, you know, the Lit Pickers as, oh, this is like based in Bombay and these two chicks think they're like, you know, from Bandra or whatever.
We are from Bandra. It's a fact.
Are we chicks?
Sometimes.
So it'd be like, they're just going to like be down on Delhi.
Smack Delhi. Here's the thing. I have, like you said, lived in Delhi for a bit. I'm very fond of that city. I have some great friends there, but not just that. If I had ever had the various things that you need to be a full-time professional fiction writer, the only city that I can imagine myself being able to do that in is Delhi. There's a lot about the city that I think encourages a writer. And there's a lot of storytelling that it has inspired, like incredible storytelling, particularly of contemporary India.
Right. And not just in the last 20 years when the capital has indeed transformed thanks to capital, but for years and centuries before that too.
Absolutely. It's been central to the narratives that have formed the idea of India, very, very literally in certain cases, but also like metaphorically and spiritually and all of those things. So I thought we could sort of look at Delhi through the ages. And then I was like, it's not about Delhi through the ages so much. Like, I think what's really striking about the Delhi books that have stayed with me is the kind of range that they remind me of.
Right, because Delhi itself is so many cities. And so its literature also spans so many different modes and so many different ways of talking about Delhi, right? From the mirror of beauty to mirrors that are not so beautiful.
Those pricey Thakur girls. That's, I think, the range.
I love it.
Yeah. But okay, the mirror of beauty is a favorite of both yours and mine. I'm pretty sure I've gushed about this book like to anybody who will ever listen. The Mirror of Beauty by Shamsur Rehman Farooqi was originally written in Urdu.
Kai chand the sare asma.
Yes, indeed. He also translated this book into English. And it is one of the most magnificent odes and love letters to Delhi, pivoted around the character of Wazira Khanum, who for me just sort of, you know, embodies the idea of Delhi in a person. In The Mirror of Beauty, she's the mother of the poet Dagh, who is legendary among the Delhi poets. Shamsur Rehman Farooqi also wrote a beautiful novel on Meet Taki Meer, another ode to Delhi, as it were. But The Mirror of Beauty sort of stands out for me. Every little detail is just so exquisitely written, This is lyrical writing at its loveliest.
Right. And the purpose of Shamsur Rehman Farooqi's writing this is really to memorialize the Delhi that he was writing about, the mm-hmm. Delhi of Wazir Khanim, which is the pre-1857 Delhi, which no longer exists. Like, the theme of the Mirror of Beauty is the passing away of a period of glory.
Mm.
And he writes about it so lovingly and so intimately that it doesn't feel like peacocking at all. When
Not
I say period of glory, you're immediately thinking, you know, like epic fanfare, etc. That's not it. This is too personal. And the loss is too personal for it to be anything but an elegy.
Mm.
But it's really him recreating Delhi for you in something like 900 pages.
It's a bicep builder, that book.
So to do something, you know, that is like a fundamental task of literature, which is to preserve a version of reality.
To preserve, yes, but also to remember, remember in every sense of that word. You know, remember being like taking parts and bringing it together. So remembering, like there are pages of description of fabric, of embroidery.
Of chappals.
And you stay with it. It's like you cannot stop.
Yeah, you have to be immersed in it. And I think Farooqi Saab took that as his duty.
Yeah.
And you can't help but be swept along in it. So it's really, apart from being like a banger of a book, it's also just a really moving project.
And if you're feeling a little daunted by the idea of entering this world straight with a 900-page bicep builder, there is actually a book called Murder at the Mushaira, which is great fun. Historical fiction set in Delhi with Ghalib as a detective.
Right. Ghalib, perhaps, you know, the preeminent man of letters of Delhi.
Yeah.
And in fact, Shamsur Rehman Farooqi's daughter, Meher Farooqi, recently wrote a biography of Ghalib, which is called A Wilderness at My Doorstep in English.
Ooh, gorgeous.
Yeah, pretty great.
So these are all historical Delhis, but the interesting part is that, like all good historical fiction, in a strange sort of way, these are prisms through which you start seeing the present in a different light as well.
That's true. And I think the Mirror of Beauty really did help me see what the destruction of Delhi in 1857 did to the city of Delhi right after it was razed to the ground and rebuilt and kind of engineered to have a new memory by the British, you know, a century later.
Yeah.
Reading that book allows me to put 1947 Delhi into perspective in a way that I didn't have before that.
Yeah.
Someone who really understands this, the links that history has to the present and how it lives on in us, is a novelist, Amitabha Bagchi, who I 100%. Think might be one of the great working writers of Delhi today.
Yes.
His last novel that I read was called Half the Night is Gone.
Mm.
And it is a family saga. It's a kind of upstairs, downstairs story of... There's like a Rais, a rich guy, and his servant, and it's about both their families.
Yeah.
And the threads running through it are seeing Delhi transform through the generations.
Mm.
The Ramayan, and this is Tulsi's Ramayan, and the role it plays in the lives of these men and women and how they understand the world around them.
And how the feudalism sort of lingers, right? That Half the Night Has Gone gets that really powerfully. There's a feudalism that is sort of veined in the society, and he gets that so beautifully.
Right. And it's veined in the choices we make about language. It is, among other things, a love letter to Hindi.
Hindi, yeah.
Which,
ironically written in English.
Ironically written in English and ironically written about Delhi, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, very often, like, at least up to a couple of generations ago, I think, like, Gangetic Plains people would have been like, oh, Delhi, you know, the city of those Punjabis, what did they know?
Yeah.
And so I think Amitabha Bagchi, who is a Delhi guy, but not from a Hindi-speaking family, does some real remembering of Delhi's history through this. Again, I found that like a very moving project.
Mm.
It was a book that I thought about even while I was reading it and that I kind of argued with even while it was trying to persuade me. And I love that as a reading experience that can be,
it is
that can be really giving.
Rewarding. Yeah, it's one of those books that, you know, most people will turn around and say, did you like a book? Which feels like such an anodyne question for books like Half the Night Has Gone, because they're genuinely worthy of that term, thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah.
Genuinely deserving. Half the Night Has Gone is wonderful.
So I think maybe we're giving our listeners the impression that we only read books about Delhi's history.
No, but here's the thing. For me, this book is always mentioned. Anybody who you ask for a Delhi book recommendation will tell you William Dalrymple's City of Jinns, right? And this is with a good cause. There is a reason this book is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
A, it's really delightfully written.
Yeah, which is that William Dalrymple is a really fun writer.
He's a fun, fun writer. And everyone knows him for his historical writing today. And of course, he has written some great histories. For me, my favorite of his is actually The Return of a King, which is about the Great Game and Afghanistan more than the Indian history stuff. Not that his Indian history stuff is not
readable.
More than
this part of the subcontinent.
Yeah, this part of the subcontinent. Very readable. But City of Jinns is just so much fun. Mm. And it's a combination of memoir and history and diary writing and a travelogue. It gives you a really good sense of the layeredness of the city. One of the things that I've always loved about Delhi is how modernity and antiquity somewhat literally sit side by side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, architecturally, the city reminds you that it has been many cities.
Right.
And that it will continue to be many cities, that rebuilding and building over is not the same as forgetting. And City of Jinns does that. Also, what a great title. Like, as titles go, City of Jinns is, I think, right up there.
Why is it called that?
It's part of a legend that he gets told.
So
it all fits in.
Do you think the book holds up now? It was written like a couple of decades ago.
It's written a couple of decades ago. I think it's still great fun. I mean, to be fair, I haven't gone back to it in the last 10 odd years.
Right.
The last time I went through it was, I think, the last time somebody asked me for a travelogue recommendation. But it's a joy to read. So I don't remember it in graphic detail. But here's the other thing. Nonfiction about Delhi, there's no shortage of that either.
Yeah, there's been a particular efflorescence, I think, in the last 10 or 15 years,
yeah.
Right?
A lot of it has to do with expats and foreign journalists trying to understand the country from their bases in Delhi. A lot of them have had their bureaus in Delhi, rightly so, because political capital and all of that. The nonfiction, again, with good reason, tends to be quite heavy and laden with a certain amount of despair. City of Jinns is written in a different time, and it's joyous. That's kind of rare for nonfiction Delhi narratives of late.
Right. I suppose that's true of nonfiction about India in general of late. You put me in mind of the journalist Aman Sethi's book called A Free Man,
yeah,
which tells the story of a part of Delhi and of labor and industry in Delhi.
Yeah.
Through a man that Aman follows closely, who is a laborer who finds, you know, daily wage work at Sadar Bazaar in Delhi, which was just a fantastic work of journalism. Really, I think, lived up to its inspirations from Studs Terkel you know, like the great labor history of the 20th century. Very, very well done. But of course, there's also the instinct to turn away from working class Delhi in so much mainstream English publishing, right? And just focus on crazy rich Indians kind of a vibe, which, you know, again, is pretty forgivable because Delhi is India's craziest, richest city of the last 20 years. I mean, I know things are disgusting in Bombay, but like it will never be, or rather the unique crazy richness of Delhi, I think, is something that other cities simply do not get.
There's a delight that Delhi takes in excess that is unmatched.
Yeah, I think there will be people who will say, you know, oh, it's because like there's a lot of nouveau wealth. But I don't think the case. I mean, trust me, there is a lot of nouveau wealth in a lot of Indian metros.
Yeah, yeah. It's got nothing to do with when that wealth got there.
Yeah.
Delhi also has some incredibly old money, which is still filled with that excess.
Yeah, so. And I think a class that is almost invisible in other Indian cities, which is of people whose social capital doesn't depend on money. And that comes from political and social power. But that's actually, you know, in some way, the atmosphere of this really lovely book that I don't think as many people have read as you'd hope. This is Parvati Sharma's first book, which was a novel called Close to Home. Parvati Sharma, now perhaps best known as the biographer of Jahangir and Akbar.
What fantastic biographers.
Yeah, fantastic works. You know, those emperors not from Delhi, by the way, unlike Jahangir's son, Shah Jahan, who invents Shah Jahanabad. But Close to Home is about the uncrazy rich of Delhi, which is the, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I don't want to upset my friends, like some of my best friends, etc. But like the SPV crowd, you know.
SPV standing for Sardar Patel Vidyalaya. But yeah.
And it's just about these sweet, foolish people inhabiting their cocoon and the things that happen there.
Yeah.
Really very charming novel.
You know, there's a lightness to her prose in that novel. The word gossamer is what comes to mind when I think of Parvati Sharma's writing in Closer to Home.
That's true. And she does that despite the fact that there is a lot of...
It's quite heavy. Like, there's subjects a lot of, are very heavy.
There's a lot of like reality trekking going on in there. And people talk to each other in that kind of Indian English that I think a lot of lesser writers have tried to replicate.
Hmm.
But it's come off as clunky, but where Parvati Sharma is just able to like... sweep you up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when her characters say, "Acha, tell na," it works.
Yeah. She has a poet's ear for cadence. And that comes into her prose, I think. I am thinking of a very different novel while you were talking about Parvati Sharma's writing, also because it showed a different aspect of Delhi to me. I'm thinking of Wildings by Nilanjana Roy.
Love it.
Nilanjana, of course, is a friend. But the thing is that...
So we're biased.
Yes, now I think I am. But when I read The Wildings, she was not a friend in that sense. Like, I knew of her, I read her.
But you hadn't eaten her amazing cooking.
But I had not eaten her amazing cooking, nor had I been accepted by the cats that are her family, which I have since been.
And who are the inspirations for The
Wildings? For indeed, The Wildings. The Wildings, for those of you who haven't read it, is a fantastic portrait of the Nizamuddin area of Delhi, basically shown through the perspective of cats, specifically a group of feral cats, and their lives are overturned when they discover there is a sender. A sender happens to be this orange little kitten in someone else's home that can send out messages to all of the cats. And her name is Mara, and she's just the cutest thing. Wildings has illustrations by Prabha Malia, and is one of the most exquisitely designed books you will ever read.
Superb.
Just so good. And it was just such a loving portrait of a neighborhood.
Nizamuddin is an area that Nilanjana really knows and, you know, is intimately familiar with. And it is a great neighborhood to pick as a kind of microcosm of the thing that you were talking about earlier, which is about the many Delhis in one city,
because
right?
Because it's Nizamuddin got so many
heritage
monuments, rich people's neighborhoods.
New rich people's
neighborhoods. New rich people, old, not so rich people. Like everything that you can ask for. It's a microcosm, like you said. So yeah, The Wildings is for me one of my very treasured Delhi books.
Yeah, but would you, for listeners who are unfamiliar with The Wildings, say that it's a book suitable for children? I feel like I remember like weeping like a baby when I read it, so I'm not sure that I would give it to a tween, for example.
I would. I really think children are capable of understanding darkness much better than they're credited to, really.
That's a really good point.
So The Wildings is an illustrated novel, which makes a lot of people think it's kiddie fiction, I think.
Yeah, with the animals as well.
Yeah, because there's animals and whatnot. And your child will be richer for this fiction.
And so will you.
Yeah, but it's not a childish bit of writing. It's very mature. And there are very serious things that are going on there. There's also sadness and all sorts of darker things that show up. Mm. But like I said, fairy tales are plenty dark. Huh? So children are well capable of handling darkness.
Okay, so that's for darkness. But I also want to talk about lightness.
Yeah, it does not get any lighter than Anuja Chauhan, who I think is at her best when she is describing Luthien's Delhi real estate. Because no one gets just how charming and how ridiculous that world is in prose better than her, I think.
She's such a stunningly intimate writer for all that she's jokey and fun.
Yeah.
And those Pricey Thakur girls is really, I think, her drawing from life.
Yeah.
All the things that I think feel unique to Delhi, which at least for me are, you know, officers of government institutions,
naturally,
slash the state, crumbling bungalows, NDTV, and Doordarshan. All of that NDMC stuff is really brought to life in Thakur Girls.
So those Pricey Thakur Girls is ostensibly a romance in many ways. Like it would be reduced, I would say, to a romance. And the romance in it is delicious, can I just say. The romance is between young Dabbu or Deepjani, who is a newsreader on the mildly disguised version of Doordarshan that Anuja Chauhan writes about. The novel is set in the 1980s. And her love interest is, wait for it, Dhillon Singh Shekhawat, which sounds like the name of an extremely enthusiastic golden retriever, but is basically the man version of an enthusiastic golden retriever. Dhillon Singh Shekhawat is just one of the best hero names that anyone has ever come up with. He's also a very idealistic journalist. Through him, you see really the rise of, or rather emergence of, video journalism. She makes him talk about somewhat uncomfortable subjects like a pogrom against Sikhs. So she's taking all of these various elements, which are quintessentially Delhi. Also the accents. This is the other thing that Anuja Chauhan can do in a way that just somehow, for all their wrongness, is very right.
Yeah. I think she's less good at it when it comes to the working class.
Yeah.
But yeah. When it comes to
the posh ones.
Yeah.
Like, she makes so much fun of
perfect.
Her posh ponciness. It is beautiful. And the other thing is that when you read the book, I don't think you can ever imagine these people and these incidents happening anywhere else. This is a story and a romance that could only happen in 1980s Lutyens Delhi. Like, it just couldn't happen anywhere else.
Correct. If it was happening in 1950s Bombay or 1920s Calcutta, it would just be a different novel.
Yeah, exactly.
These days, it's often reading the work of the poet Akhil Katyal that kind of give me that sense memory of what Delhi is like, of the experience of Delhi. Mm. I know Akhil a little bit, so again, you know, bias, take with a pinch of salt, etc. Though I have no idea how he cooks. I hope it's well, Akhil, for your own sake. I think perhaps he's best known because he's very generous with publishing his work on social media.
Yeah. And it's really nice to see someone who is not threatened by social media, but actually embraces it and uses it in a way that we've spoken in another episode about poetry and how much we love it and how the technicalities of social media can be used to bring out the best of poetry. And I think Akhil Katyal does that really well.
Yeah, in the
well.
Sense, I mean, you know, it really enhances the sense of immediacy.
Yeah.
And he uses that well. He also collected a lot of his work in a book called like Blood on the Bitten Tongue.
Mm.
Can I read one poem?
Please read one poem.
Okay. He was as arrogant as a Chhatarpur farmhouse, but in the end, I figured he was just cluttered, like Archini, which I liked. Our beginnings were rocky. We held hands. Infrequently and uneasily, like Defcol and Kotla. But then, in some years, often and more breezily, like Jangpura and Jangpura Extension. All those years of romance and apprehension. He'd held me in his Najafgarh arms and kissed me like Shalimar Bagh. Not that we didn't fight like Rajori, crossing each other's civil lines. Not that he wasn't at times distant like Greater Noida, or quiet like Asola. But always, when the worst had passed, we returned at last to where we'd been, somewhere near Dilshad Garden, by the blessings of Nizamuddin.
I just want to point out that I'm slightly upset that CR Park did not get a mention, but it's okay. EPDP Colony has just been, you know, sidelined so often.
Well, I presume none of the gentlemen in question were Bengali.
Clearly
which
not.
Is, yeah. Am I stereotyping CR Park unnecessarily? Do you have to be Bengali to live there?
I think so. No, that's not true. There are non-Bengalis who have somehow managed to find their way there. But it is primarily a Bengali neighborhood, and more power to it. Like, that's another one of the things that's so great about Delhi, that there are actually pockets that are community-centric, but it doesn't feel closed off, I think. Like, others can find their way in. But the fact is that in CR Park, you can speak Bengali and not a word of Hindi, which is what I think most people in CR Park have been doing forever after. I do want to point anyone who's listening to a beautiful essay that Akhil Katyal had written about Aga Shahid Ali's Delhi relationships. He had written it for Kafila, and it's a really lovely essay. I would strongly recommend you read it because, you know, we don't usually think of Aga Shahid Ali for...
As a writer of Delhi.
But the fact is that he did come to Delhi at the age of 19 to be a student here and spend some formative years. And Delhi pops up in his poems unexpectedly, almost while he's writing about America. You know, there's a image of Delhi that will show up. So it's a really beautiful essay. You should look it up.
Yeah. I hope that my friends from 25 years ago have never thought about the question of what the Delhi novel is again, because there's really such an embarrassment of riches that I think Delhi has always had and has acquired even more of in the years since that question was asked. that it's truly irrelevant about, you know, who the Rushdie of Delhi or the Ghosh of Delhi is.
Yeah, and it's irrelevant.
Rushdie is the Rushdie of Delhi. Ghosh is the Ghosh of Delhi.
And
Rana Dasgupta is the Rana Dasgupta of Bombay and Calcutta.
I was going to say Rana Dasgupta, Arundhati Roy.
Have you read the second novel, The Ministry of
Utmost Happiness? Yes, I have.
I haven't read it, but I was thinking when we were talking about Delhi books of Dainita Singh's Myself, Mona Ahmed. Because I know there's a connection over there,
yes,
right?
Yes,
Mona Ahmed,
Mona Ahmed's
transgender subject and participant of one of Dainita Singh's most famous and poignant projects. And has some echoes with one of the main figures in Ministry.
Very, very loud echoes. Yeah, Mona Ahmed is very much part of Ministry of Utmost Happiness. And Ministry of Utmost Happiness is a very sprawling novel, too sprawling, one could argue. But again, like the author's love for Delhi shimmers in that text, you know?
And I do think it would be extremely Delhi of me over here to interject with the question of Pradeep Krishan's Trees of Delhi. Fantastic book.
What a great book.
And a book the likes of which I think has few counterparts in other kinds of Indian writing.
Yeah.
There's a very good book by Harini Nagendra and Seema Mundoli, which came out a few years ago, called Cities and Canopies, which is about the flora of Bangalore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just a very different kind of production altogether. Pradeep Krishan is Pradeep Krishan.
100%.
You know? Also, to the friend who asked me why I was moving back to Bombay because there's nothing intellectual here, I can only repeat the truth, which is that I'm not an intellectual. So this is where I belong. But I really enjoyed frolicking in the gardens of Delhi and Delhi's literature. And so has Deepanjana.
Indeed. And Delhi is a place that I think for both of us is a place that we can return to at any point. And that is a lot of its
charm.
Not
between October and December, honey.
December, happily. I'm here for the weather.
With the smog.
Can't breathe. But, you know, there is a world in which you can breathe in Delhi and you can sit in the winter sunshine and have a picnic with friends where one of them will have a guitar, another one will write the poetry, and somebody else will have made amazing food. And you just kind of lie there surrounded by architectural ruins of the most beautiful splendor and feel kind of amazed at where you are and that you've arrived here the way you have.
The columnist Rahul Jacob once wrote that the dinner conversation at a Delhi table matched or outstripped anything in any other world city. And I'd like to believe that he's right. That's also why I'll never go back to Delhi, because all I'll do is go out and never get any work done. But on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this bit of the day's labors.
And enter the city of Bombay and all of its labors.
I have been Supriya Nair, and I will continue to be with my friend Deepanjana Pal,
who ain't changing anytime soon. This was The Lit Pickers, a podcast about books and reading made in Bombay.
The Lit Pickers is a Made in India production. Don't forget to rate and review and follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tell everyone you know about the show. Share it on social media, tell your friends and family, scream about it on your rooftop. It really helps get the word out. Oh, and use the hashtag LitPickers. Follow Supriya and Deepanjana on Twitter or Instagram. You can also find all of the books they've mentioned or recommended in an online resource via a link in our episode description. Thanks. Keep listening.